morning. In just a moment, we're going to turn our attention to the Lord's table, and we're going to remember the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I think before we do that, Jacob, you have one other song. Is that correct? We're going to sing Lamb of God after the comments here. And I had some things prepared, but I'm tempted, honestly, to sort of divert and just think about the song that we just sang and the lesson this morning, too, that Scott has just delivered. When we come together and we remember what Christ has done for us, we're really talking about the crux of the gospel. And when we talk about the gospel, when we talk about what God has done for us, we're talking about God making peace with us on his own accord. This is not, you know, Scott talked about the idea of as much as we are able, as much as it depends on us, let us be at peace with all men. Well, if it was up to us and trying to make peace with God, we would never get there. But God, through his own love, has shown that he was willing to do everything that he could in his power to recreate peace between us and himself. And that's the message that we see in his revealed word. We see that we messed up, that sin entered the world, that we've each sinned, fallen short of his glory, and that he has clawed his way back to us. He has made a way for us to be able to come back to him. He has done everything that he can do up to the point of, you know, taking away our own free will in order to make peace between us and himself. And of course, he did that through the cross. He did that through his son. You'll recall back in the book of Exodus that as they were preparing to leave Egypt, God has called Moses to lead his people out. They've been suffering there for 400 years. And you get to the final plague, right? And what we call the Passover, the original Passover. And Moses instructs the people, as God had instructed him, to take the blood of a lamb without blemish, and to take the hyssop and the sponge, and to pour it, you know, to spread it across the doorpost. And through that blood, through that sacrificial blood of that lamb, you see that God was making peace between himself and his people, those that would listen to his voice, those that put their trust in him. You see what happened to the Egyptians and those that did not have peace with God at that point. They suffered that wrath, and they suffered that terrible plague, and they suffered death and destruction that night. But for those who had obeyed the words of the Lord, and for those to whom he had revealed his will, and those that were willing to obey that will, there was peace that night, even in the danger of death and destruction. And of course, that's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ as our lamb, as our sacrificial lamb. And there's many passages that we could go to, but if you'll turn to Isaiah 53, this is one that we've referenced in class this morning with many of the teenagers. Isaiah 53, we've already read from Isaiah chapter 9 this morning. But here we see a picture of the lengths that God was willing to go to make peace with us, okay? And it says, "Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him." He's talking about Christ. Verse 3, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? They made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You could go on. Here we see the picture of that sacrificial lamb of Jesus Christ as the suffering Savior. And of course, we know the gospel accounts. We know the stories of what he had to go through on the cross on that day. But in the end, we see a much different picture of this same lamb. If you look in Revelation chapter 5, yes, God bruised him. God allowed him to suffer on our behalf. He was willing that he should do that. And then it says Jesus Christ was willing not to count it equality with God, but to come down and to give up everything that he had in heaven and to take our place there when we could not. See, if we had been our own sacrificial lamb, we would have been tainted. We would have been blemished. There was no way that we could have done that. In Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 6, it says, "Between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." So this lamb is from God. This lamb has the Spirit of God. This, of course, is Jesus. He's been slain, yet he's living. He's standing here before in the presence of God. Verse 7, "He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" See, that's the gospel. That's exactly what he has done for us. Verse 11, "Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" And as great as it is to come together with our voices and to raise them in praise and song, imagine such a chorus singing and shouting these words. Thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of voices raised saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." See, although he had been humbled, now he is receiving power. Now he is worthy to receive all the blessings. And of course, that's what God did. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about the glory that because Christ was willing to take our place, and because Christ was willing to give up what he had, it says, now that God has highly exalted him. This is Philippians 2. I'm going to begin in verse 5. It says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus," meaning be like Jesus, have his mindset. And here's what that looks like. Verse 6, "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus, there's power, the power of the cross, but the power is the power of the action that Jesus took on that day. The power is the power that God gave him when he died and when he raised him up. the power is in, you know, the action and the truth that that we were once free once he had done that. Verse 9, it says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, that's the kind of language, that's the kind of scene that we see in Revelation, and I think that's the kind of thing that we will see for eternity. We'll see Jesus taking his place where he is now. We'll see him as he is. A lamb, though slain, right? That's history. That's reality. That's truth. He will always have been the slain lamb because he was willing to go through that for us. But now he's been highly exalted. And this is really, this is why we're gathered here this morning. This is the crux of the gospel. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the importance of the resurrection. Scott on Wednesday night talked about the importance of both the resurrection and the incarnation, that you have to have both, right? You have to have Christ in human form, and you have to have Christ as God being raised up through the power of God. And certainly you have to have both sides of the equation. But simply here, you know, he says in verse 3, well, let me begin in verse 1. It says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, the gospel, the good news, which you received, in which you stand. This is what we base our lives on. This is why we gather in his name. Verse 2, and by which you are being saved. We know we have not been perfected yet, but that is why we gather. That is why, he said, as he says here, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So this is where our hope is. But look at how simple this is. Verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. This is the crux here, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and then that he appeared to his disciples, to many of his. And as we and as they have testified in their accounts, and as we can read, and as we see in that throne scene in Revelation, he is no longer slain, he has been resurrected. And because of that now, we know that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, and we have the same hope through that power. Through the power of the cross, through the power of Jesus' love for us, through the willingness of God to make peace with us through Jesus Christ our Savior. These are the things I want us to be reminded of this morning, that we could not have done this ourselves, but that God has done everything that he could do, right? We were that prodigal son, and God has come running toward us if we are but willing to turn back to him. And so thanks be to God for this indescribable gift that he's given to us through his Son, our Savior, and that we can now have peace with him, that we can have hope, that we can be resurrected. Once we die, we have no fear of death. We know that we'll be resurrected, and we will be in that chorus around the throne singing, someday, worthy is the Lamb.